turn the knee on the right side of God, amen, where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so that's why we teach the Bible here, amen. We could be teaching a lot of stuff. We've gone to some bodies, they teach, it sounds like more out of the Democrat Chronicle than it does the Bible, amen. They're reading the newspaper scripts and stuff like that. I don't care what the news has to say, I really don't. We got the good news of Jesus Christ, amen. And so as we are entering into that, we've been started this, Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago, to get back to the basics, amen. Every once in a while, it's time just to clean house. And y'all ever do that, like in the spring of the year, when winter's just coming, it's time to get all those things put away and then get ready for the next season and stuff like that. Well, in our spiritual life, we ought to have some of those times too. We ought to have times where we go back and we get back down to the basics, right? And I love the basics of Jesus Christ. It's coming back to the root cellar. And finding out what God said, because he never changes. He's the same today, or yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. And it's all about love. It's all about obedience. It's all about knowing the one true God and the Son whom he has sent. This is indeed eternal life. And so as we're into this study, into the Sermon of the Mount, and we've gone over several things, today, the scripture that we're going to be looking at is in Matthew 5 still, and we'll be picking up in 38. And so let me just read through this real quick, and then we'll talk about some things. We'll go over some stuff after that. We'll go back to what he has taught, but you need to know this for today in Matthew 5 and 38. You have heard it. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whoever shall compel thee to go a mile or 1 mile, go with him twain. Take to him, or give to him that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. Fix that on my Bible. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of our Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, and he means tax collectors, the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Those are big words. Did you hear what Jesus was talking about there? Now, to recap where we've been all the way up to where we are, because this probably for me is the hardest thing that Jesus has ever taught. To love those who treat you badly. To give compassion to those that really hate you. Because personally, for me, I'm a fighter, right? And if you smack me on one side of my face, I'm probably going to punch you in the nose. Because that's just me. Well, praise God, that was who I used to be. I'm not that way as much anymore. Now, and again, Jesus... I might punch you in the stomach instead of in the nose now. But back in those days, if you would have smacked me on one side, you better, in fact, it was even worse than that. Back in my young rowdy days, you said, I want to fight you. You were already in the fight, right? So when you said, I want to, and I was punching you right in the face, right? That's just the way I was. I was nasty. I was violent. And I would hurt you and laugh at your blood. Right? That was me. But God, amen, but God came in. There, that's who I used to be, and praise God, I'm not that way anymore. I'm not nearly as violent as I used to be, but I know that that guy still lives inside of this carcass, right? I know that he's still here. I just don't feed him like I used to feed him, amen? And so Jesus teaching all of these teachings, and he's coming to this one here, which for me personally, like I said before, is probably the hardest of all of these teachings that Jesus started teaching on the Sermon of the Mount. These are only 10 verses, but we're about ready to unveil these great teachings, all of them, that Jesus has been teaching thus far. The first thing that Jesus was teaching in the Beatitudes, or in the Sermon of the Mount, he told us what true blessings are, right? We got back and we said, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Because they'll be called the children of God. And we looked at those blessings and what it really means to be blessed, truly blessed by God. We understood what blessing means. It means joyful. Joyful are the poor in spirit. Joyful are the meek. Joyful are you when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Those are true blessings. We don't think of those as blessings here in America. In America, I'm blessed if I have the newest, latest, and greatest of the newest thing, right? I am so blessed. I had a wonderful lady that I love stop by the house the other day, and she was telling me about all of her great blessings, and one of those great blessings is she got a lottery ticket, okay, and it had $6 on it. I said, I don't know if that's a blessing or not. Praise God that you got $6, but what did you do with the $6 that God gave you? Well, I bought 6 more lottery tickets, and I lost it all. Okay, then what blessing was that, right? Anyhow, so we have a wrong concept of what blessings truly are. And so Jesus got us squared away on that. The second thing that he taught is verses 31 through 21 in the same chapter there. We are to be salt and light, right? In the church, we're supposed to be the flavor of Christ in this world that has no flavor. We're supposed to be the light of Christ, which is in this world that's surrounded by darkness, right? And that's what God tells us to do. And he says, if the church, if we lose our saltiness, what good are we? We are absolutely good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of man. And he taught that. That's a hard saying, too. Right? There's a lot of folks who think that they are the salt of the earth. Now, if you think that you're the salt of the earth, probably not. You know, because those who think that they're salty, they may be salty, but they might be in the world kind of salty, not the worthy kind of salty. And so he told us to be light. He told us to be flavor. He told us to be those things. He told us to live obedient to the high calling of Christ in which we have been called. He told us to live in love and in truth. And in verses 27 through 31, Jesus talks about the deepening of the law, where the law says, thou shalt not murder. But Jesus says, if you think about doing bad things to people, you've already done it. He told us in that scripture right there to not commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you look at a woman or a man with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. So there's the law of God that is strict, but then there's the law of Christ, which is more strict. He says, because it's not necessarily the act of doing something, it starts with a thought. Right, it starts with conjuring these things up in your mind. And if you continually think of things that are ungodly, guess where you're going to go? You're going to follow that rail. You're going to go down that track. So he says, think on these things. Right? Paul talks about that in Philippians. Think on the things that are good. And he tells us that God hates divorce. Right? He tells us that. That's the fourth thing that God told us. And then he tells us the fifth thing that he explained to us. This is our sixth week in this teaching. But the fifth week, he said, don't swear. Don't swear. Don't commit your oaths. In other words, just like your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. Be an honest person. You know, if you live and have your word to be your seal, you don't have to swear on anything. right? If you say, if you're a person of your word, you say, well, I'm going to be at your house at such and such time, at such and such place, and you always are there, or you say, I'm going to do this, and you always do what you say you're going to do, you never have to swear on anything. You will build a reputation of being an honest-to-your-word person. I was brought up in a time where when you shook a man's hand, that was better than any contract ever written, right? If I come and I say, all right, I'm going to make a deal with you, I'm going to come and do such and such thing over at your house, and I shake your hand on it, then it's going to be done, right? Even if I lose money in it, it's going to be done because we had an agreement. Let your yes be yes and your no's be no's. Don't swear on the Bible. Don't swear on... How many folks have heard, I swear on my mama's grave? Well, that's a horrible thing to swear on, right? It really is. He says, don't swear on the earth because it's God's footstool, and don't swear on the things of heaven because that's God's throne. But just be honest with yourself. Be honest to yourself. Be honest to other men around you. Indeed, be salt and light. That's what Jesus is really saying here. And then he gets into this portion of scripture, which really punches me in the gut, because it's against everything that I ever have learned or in my flesh, everything that I've ever thought of. Somebody strikes you on one cheek, giving the other also. Man, that's hard. Somebody takes you to court and sues you, right? That's a hard thing, and they win. Right? They went and they said, here, I'm going to sue you for your outer garment. And what did Jesus say? Give them your inner garment also. Well, you want my jacket? You can have my jacket. In fact, here, take my underwear. Right? And that's really what he's saying. He says, "Don't. If they want to sue you for your outside stuff, give them your inside stuff too." Is that what the world teaches? No. That's not what the world... It's so mind-blowing when you think about that. I'm going to appeal to the highest court. Well, when you appeal to the highest court, you're before Jesus Christ. Amen. And what did he say? If a man sues you, give him... And he wins your coat, give him your inner garments also. Your cloak also. Those are hard things for me to understand. Jesus said, if any man compel you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles, twain. Back in Jesus' day, it was one thing that the Romans had the right to do, the government had the right to do, is they could come, they could see you minding your own business, doing your job. And he says, listen, Stu, I belong to the Roman government, and I'm going this way. You need to leave everything that you're doing right now and go with me this far. And instead of going with him that far, you take it to the extra mile. You go with him not as far as he wanted, but further than he wanted you to. Isn't that hard to do? Have you ever thought of that? Here you are, put yourself in this mindset, right? You're plowing your field, you're planting your garden, you're mowing your lawn. Okay, and the policeman pulls up beside you and says, George, I know that you're busy right now, but too bad. You're going with me. You're not under arrest, and not only are you going with me, you're carrying all of my equipment. So I'm going to pack you up like a mule, and you're going to follow me to wherever I'm going. How many would just willingly do that? I wouldn't. I have a problem with that. But what did Jesus say do? Don't just go with him 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, what would that do to the person who commanded you to go with him? Well, I only wanted you to go this far. You don't have to follow me anymore. I'll take it from here. And you say, no, sir. No, sir. I don't want to just take it this far. Let's go further. What would that do to that person that just commanded you to take his stuff? Kind of changes his thought about it, wouldn't it? I mean, and just put yourself in that policeman's or that Roman guard's lifestyle there. All right, wow, I just told you that you had to. By law, you've got to go with me this far. And now you're saying, not only will I go with you as far as the law tells me to go with you, I'm going to go the extra mile with you, and I'm going to go further than what you expected. And he's going to say there's something really strange about that person. And think about this, because when that second mile comes, he's going to want to start talking to you, because that's something so abnormal. That's something so different, right? That there has to be something strange about this character. And so while you're on the road with him, you get to tell him about the things of Jesus Christ. You get to tell him about the love of God. You get to tell him about what Jesus has done to you in your life. Yes, officer, not only will I go with you 1 mile, I'm going to go with you as long as you need me to go. And while we're on the road, let me tell you why I'm doing this. Why do I give more than what's asked of me? Because God gave me more than what was ever expected, more than what I deserve. Not only did he give me the portion which was coming to me, he gave me a double portion through the death and resurrection of his son. I don't know for you guys, that's a hard thing for me. I have a hard time doing that because my appointments are very important to me. Right? Aren't they? Aren't your appointments important to you? Never be so busy in and of your own self that you can't do what the Lord has called you to do. Because there's oftentimes, I would love to do that, but I need to blah, 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 blah. I would love to set my schedule aside to do what God is calling me to, but I can't set my schedule aside because my stuff is really important. And you don't understand. God says, don't just go the 1 mile, go with him the second mile also. And so, give to them that ask of thee. And if don't turn anybody who wants to borrow something from you away. Think of that. I would love to give to you, brother. Thanks, I'm glad that you came here and you asked for something. I tell you what, just go away and I'll pray that those needs will be met. Right? Right? Have you ever thought that? I'd love to give to you, but instead of giving to you, let me just pray for you and maybe God will have a drop out of the sky. No, he says, don't just say that you're going to do something. Do something for that individual. What good is your religion? What good is your relationship if your brother comes to you naked and destitute of food? This is from James. And you tell him, I will pray for you, but I will not attend to any of those things that you ask. You say that you need money for your heating bill. Well, I tell you what, here's two sticks. Help yourself. Go heat yourself. No, he says, take care of that person. Maybe you can't afford to pay their electric bill or their heating bill, but you know what you can do? Welcome them into your house and get them warm. Give them a warm bowl of soup, right? Do something for those persons. A child needing a coat. How many extra coats do you have in your house? I know I got way more coats than I got arms, right? You know, I mean, really and truly, I got more stuff. He says, listen, if they come to you naked and they need something, tend to that thing. Because it's not what you say so much, but it's what you do that makes the difference. You know, because we all can talk a good game, but if we're not doing what we said we're going to do, so if they want to take, if they want to come and borrow from you, don't just give them a little bit. Give them double what they need. Amen. Verse 43, you have heard it said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And have you ever heard that? I want to love my neighbor, but I sure don't like that guy. That guy made me mad. He scratched my car. He kicked my mule. He shot my dog. He ran off with my whatever. You know, and it's easy to hate those folks, isn't it? I really don't like that person. I don't want to like them. It's great that Jesus didn't say you got to like them. He says you got to love them. That person that wanted to do you harm, that purposely set out to harm you. He says, listen, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. All right? Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. If that's true, it's got to be somewhere else in the Bible, right? Well, I find it throughout the whole of the Gospels. Amen. I found it in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. This is what Paul said to the church of Rome. Say amen when you get there. Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21, because I want to make sure that y'all saw it the way that I saw it. I'm going to go there with you. Romans chapter 12. In my Bible, it's page 1155. Amen. Might not be that in your Bible, but it is. See, my Bible doesn't have any of those extra things in it, so it might be a little bit shorter on pages than yours. Starting in verse 17, say, are you there yet? Not there, are you there yet? Amen. He says, recompense. Do you know what that means?
Repay.
Pay back no man. All right? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place, unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, have y'all ever had somebody just do you wrong? Amen? They ate your Wheaties and spit in your bowl, right? They just messed you up. They took away your mule and they kicked your cat. They hurt you. Boy, I can't wait to get back with that fellow, that muscle, fuss and rustle. I'm vengeance. I demand justice for all those people. You ever been there? Oh, Lord, I have. You know, especially when before I really started knowing the Lord or started understanding how God will protect you, I thought I had to fight for myself. Got to fend for yourself. Do unto others before they do unto you was my motto.
God forgives, but I don't.
Amen. God forgives, but I don't. I heard that. Man. But what's Jesus saying? Someone who is a Christian, what do you do? Repay no man evil for evil. Why? Do you think the worst that I can do to somebody, right, the very worst that I can do to them is not as bad as what God can do to them? God says, vengeance is mine. Curtis didn't say that. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay them. So when somebody does something nasty to you, has anybody had anything nasty done to them? Oh, yeah, amen. Yes, you have. Oh, wasn't it? Didn't you just, I can't wait till I get next to them. I'm going to flatten their tires. I'm going to pour sugar down their gas tank. Amen. I'm gonna spray paint on the side of their building. Oh, yeah, that'll show them. Right? Ever have those thoughts, those feelings? I'll never forgive you for that. Has that ever come out of your mouth? Oh, my goodness. What if Jesus said that to us? And he has a right to, you know? Because we are slime dogs. We really are. But even as Jesus was hanging on the cross, bleeding out for the sin of mankind, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Man. I have a hard time with that. Imagine that. The Son of Glory never broke the law, never hurt anybody on the face of the earth. He only did good, right? He healed the blind, he healed the leper, he touched the unclean thing, he loved those things that were unlovely. And yet they hated him for that. They hated him for being light in a dark world. Anybody have teenage kids? Right? Time to wake them up for school. Call them once they don't wake up. The next thing you do, you turn on the light. Don't they just hate that?
Oh, I can't stand it.
It's like there was a vampire and the sunlight came on him. Like, I'm dying. They hate the light. People hate the light in you. Well, and remember what the light is. It's not you. It's the Christ that lives in you.
Amen.
And they don't like that. It hurts their eyes. But does that mean you ought to dim it back out?
No.
Jesus already taught you are the light of the world. And as the light of the world, right, we are representing Jesus Christ here on this plane, this earth that we live in. If we only did the things that the world does, living by the way that the world does, repaying people, I'll get you, I'm going to get you for that. And we live that way. What does that make the world think of the God we serve? A vengeful God. If you're a Christian and you can't wait to pay somebody back for some wrong that has happened to you, then that must mean the God that you serve is just, it is going to get you. He's just a big old stepdaddy in the sky, and he's waiting for you to mess up so he can pound you like a nail. That's not God. See, we're misrepresenting God when we do those things. If Jesus so forgave, shouldn't we? If Jesus did not pay men back for evil that they did to him, and they did him some pretty bad things. Judas Iscariot, the one who turned him in to be crucified to the high priest, right? Had him arrested. Jesus knew what he had done, and he still washed his feet, showed himself to be a servant. Oh, resist not the evil. Whoever smacks you on one side of the face, turn to him also the other. Hard, ain't it, Stu? Right? I have a hard time with that. Now, in all of these things, they're not talking about pacifism, right? Not like Gandhi, you know. Gandhi was real pacifist. Just let them run all over you and your family, and it's okay. Because Jesus, I don't believe, I know that the Lord would not allow somebody to hurt a child and him not do something about it. You ever think of that? You know, and you say, well, how's that happen? Because a lot of children get hurt. I was hurt as a child, but God took care of that. Mm-hmm. It took some time, right? But God took care of that. You know, I didn't have to go and hunt that man down and do any harm to him. When I came to the Lord, I prayed about it. God took care of that. Whew, clean slate. He did a lot better job than what I would ever do. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. When somebody do not resist the evil, doesn't mean be passive. So if somebody comes and tries to hurt my wife, you're going to see a different kind of pastor. Amen? You're going to see the husband in me rise up. And it will not be an easy task to hurt my wife, my children. Right? That is not going to flow. Somebody comes into this building right here and tries to hurt one of you guys, you will see a different pastor up here, all right? I have a staff, and I will use it. A shepherd uses the staff against the wolves, right? If I got to come and defend the sheep, I will defend the sheep, God's sheep. Now, if they come to me personally, somebody smacks me in the face, I need to turn my cheek. Somebody comes and attacks George or Alan or one of you ladies here or one of the kids here, now, I'm not going to sit back and just let that happen. I will defend you. All right? Now, vengeance belongs to the Lord, but I will stand my ground. I will fight to the death to keep you safe. So he's not talking about pacifism there. He's saying if anybody offends you, you handle it that way. But if you see the least of these being assaulted, hurt, then the pastor or the husband of the house, who here is going to let somebody come into your house and hurt your children? You ever see a mama bear? They don't do that. They don't, I tell you, they will not let that happen. And I'm sure that as a Christian, I'm not saying go get your gun or nothing like that, but if they do something against me personally, I will take it. If they do something against you, I will defend you. Right? That's just the way, that's the way that it is. If somebody hits me on the right cheek, I will turn the left cheek. Somebody hits Mike on the right cheek, I will stand in between him and whoever that is. Right? He's not teaching about passivism in either of these. God will repay, but I will defend. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Right? If he's thirsty, give him a drink. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. If somebody hates you, boy, I cannot. Well, I hate you, Stu. Oh, I just want to. And you know how God will turn around. Anybody have a contentious neighbor from time to time, right? Or a contentious person in the family, right? What's the best way to win them over?
Love them.
Just love them to death. Love them till the hate leaves, right? God will take care of that kind of stuff. You feed them, you take care of them, you love them the best you can, then you let God do the rest. In verses 40 and 42 of Matthew, he talks about lawsuits. If a man has sued you for your outer coat, give him also your inner. These are, again, really hard scriptures. You know, has anybody here ever been sued? Or ever had to sue any? I have. It's hard to get over that, isn't it? Especially when you know or you believe that you're right. I did a job for an individual years ago. I'm a floor installer by trade, and you'll know that. Here's how the whole thing went. I bought a bad truck. I've been known to do that. And I bought a truck, and it was a diesel truck, and the head gaskets blew out of it pretty quick. And this guy said he could fix those head gaskets, and he had some bad floors that somebody had installed, and I can fix that. And we were just going to swap that out. Right? So I went and I worked on his floors, fixed them. Well, months. How many months was that? That was a long time. 6 months. 6 months have passed, right? And he still hadn't fixed the truck, so I brought him to court. Right? I won. But I still wasn't able to get the truck because it was on his property. Oh, I was mad for that for years. And I really was, because I lost a lot of financial money. The truck cost $10,000, right? I lost that because I no longer had the truck. And the floors, it took 3 weeks to fix those floors, so I lost 3 weeks of work plus that vehicle. Man, it took me a long time to get over that. I was angry at that guy for a long time. But I took to prayer, gave it to prayer, and I don't know if the Lord got in this or not, but he ended up burning his house down. You know? I don't know the whole of the story. I know that that's what happened. So God took care of that. I got over it. You got to love those folks. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. If they sue you, don't just give them your outer garment. I've never been sued by anybody. I've had to sue some folks, but I've never been sued by anybody. I don't know what I would do in that. Well, I know what the Bible tells me to do. I do my best to hold to the Word of God. And that 1 Peter chapter 3, if you'll open up there real quick, and we'll close with this, starting in verse 8. Now, this is for the church, and this is what Jesus is talking about, those who are called to be Christians, to love your enemies, to do good to those who spitefully use you, to walk in obedience to the Word of God, and giving space for the vengeance of the Lord instead of taking it yourself. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful or merciful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that loves life will see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. That means chase after it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Peter here reminding us that God's always watching. And his eyes, his covering are over those who do good. Right? And his eyes are also over top of those who do evil. And like I said, the worst that I can do to you is some small thing. Don't fear man who have only the power to take away your life, but fear him not only that can take your life, but throw your soul into hell. So no matter what men do to you, don't try to get back with them. Have you ever wanted to do that? Boy, I can't wait till I'm going to just get you. I'm going to get you. Don't do that. Give room for God to do what God needs to do. See, if people see your love for them as they do evil to you, they see that, they observe, they know that they're doing you wrong, right? And you love them over top of that, eventually God's going to do something in their life. And it might be the point that brings them to salvation. Right? They said, I hurt those people as best I could, and they lived with it. They took it. They accepted it. And years later, they'll look back at that. And I say, wow. And they'll come up to you and say, George, remember back in 1977 when blah, 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 blah happened, and you handled it this way? Well, the way that you handled it years later struck a fire in my heart. And because of what you did, the way that you loved me, the way that you forgave me, it brought me closer to Christ. George planted, Apollos watered, and eventually God gave the increase. See, it's a little bit, and these basic teachings of Christ are so magnificent. I mean, when you think about them, love your enemies. When you're able to do that, you have put on the big boy pants. Right? That means you are way further than 99% of everybody else. When you bless those who curse you, when you allow God the time it takes to touch somebody else's life for you. Because I'm preaching on this, and I got to tell you, it's not as though I have made it, all right? I'm not there yet. But I'm going to persevere. I'm going to push on to the high calling of Christ. I'm not there yet, but there's coming a day. I pray that there's coming a day that I'll be able to do that. I pray that the church, that there's coming a day that the church will be able to do that. To really forgive the way that God has called us to forgive. To truly love the way that God has called us to love. Oh, that we would refrain our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking lies, to repay no man evil for the evil that was given to us. Man. That's hard. These are some of the hard teachings that Jesus gave us, amen? And folks who say I want to live by the Ten Commandments. Well, I would rather live by the Ten Commandments than these. Because Ten Commandments, when you compare them to what Jesus just said over the commandments that how he emphasized not just obeying the rule of law, but obeying the spirit of the law. It's harder. It's a lot easier not to commit adultery than it is not to think about committing adultery, right? Because I don't know about y'all, but I got a mind, right? It's easier not to steal than not to think about stealing. It's easier not to covet than not to think about coveting, right? And he says, don't even think about these things. When you think about them, have you, it lays the groundwork. It makes fertile soil for that sin to rise up in you. Not returning evil for evil. That's a real tough one. But if we learn how to do that, if we master it, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And who are we supposed to be getting glory for? God. Amen. And so, church, hear what the Spirit said to you. These are some of the deep teachings of Christ. They're the hardest things that our flesh is ever going to have to deal with, because it is against everything that is in our bodies to do these things. I mean, it really is. To keep your lips closed, to not say those things that will hurt somebody when they said things to hurt you. How do you turn away wrath? By a what kind of answer? Well, you do a soft answer. Absolutely. How do you turn away wrath? It's by a soft answer. So they come at you, rustin', rustin', cussin', rustin', rustin'. You say, oh, I love you so much. You know. How can they fight back at that? You know? They lose all their ground. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Not just to speak out of our mouth the love of Christ, but to live the love of Christ in our life that is real and personal. Next week we'll get into chapter 6. Chapter 6, this is next week. We're going to start talking about your alms or your, not necessarily your tithe or your money, but the way you serve the Lord, the way you serve Him. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll tackle that next week. Father, we do thank you and we praise you. I thank you for the folks that were here. And Father, I pray that the Word of God and the teachings of Christ, we've heard something today that we can bring home and glean in our hearts, Lord, that we could use these teachings that you gave us and glorify you all the more in our minds and our bodies. We thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.